Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. The earth and all that is in it belongs to the Holy One. Look, here is our God, for whom we have waited. This is the Holy One, for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in our salvation. Who shall ascend the hill of the Holy One, and who shall stand in this holy place? We come seeking the face of God. Our affirmation of faith is the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. On the third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our first scripture reading is the 127th Psalm. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord guards the city, the guard keeps watch in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives sleep to his beloved. Sons are indeed a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the sons of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies at the gate.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song.
Bless the Lord.
Our scripture text this morning comes from the 5th chapter of Matthew, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. How many people do we know that would change their course, let alone their day, to help you when you need it most? Sometimes it's the unlikeliest of folks who would go out of their way to help another. We recall this morning the stories of saints, stories of people who have gone out of their way to teach us, to help us, to change our lives, people who have blessed us in just the right ways at just the right times. These saints that we lift up are often unexpected and act in unexpected ways. But in doing so, they capture the essence of Jesus' words found here in Matthew. Like these Beatitudes, the lives of saints show the works and the ways of a God who is full of surprises. Jesus' words in the opening of the Sermon on the Mount describe those who find their being in the eternal God. The message of the Beatitudes is that it's what we are that really counts, not what we possess or what we have done. And all these characteristics Jesus describes are a result of our being in Christ. When we really take a look at these promises of the kingdom of God and also the descriptions of those who receive the promises, we find that we get a sneak peek into God's kingdom. You see, the Beatitudes are primarily about the character of God and God's kingdom, but they are also about the character of Christians. Because God behaves in the way God does, a person would be foolish not to act in the way that the Beatitudes recommend. And to live the Beatitudes is to live in faith. We have faith that God really does bless the poor in spirit, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and the persecuted. And when people have such faith in God, they begin to live into that faith in a way that they not only see the blessings of God happening all around them, but they become a part of those blessings, experiencing them themselves, even as they share them with others. And these are the people we come to know and celebrate as saints. As you think of the saints in your life, is that not the kind of people that they are? People who are sharing God's blessings in this world and even go out of their way to do so. These are the saints that we celebrate today. We celebrate martyrs because they die for the faith. We celebrate saints because they live for the faith. Now and then, some figure arises on the human scene who does approximate the incredible ideals of Jesus. A Francis of Assisi going with radiant joy upon God's way when he left all the clutterings of this earth behind. A Martin Luther King Jr. attaining a peace and a power of soul beyond all common measurement because he himself had cleansed his heart from hate and from every thought of violence and had committed himself completely to the persuasive power of love. But I'm not talking about St. John or St. Mary or St. Francis or St. Teresa. I'm talking about Mom and Dad and Chris and Ben and Aunt Jane and Betty Lou and Red and Norma and Dolly Sue and you fill in the blank. The celebration of All Saints' Day is not just a celebration of the lives of people who are now gone. It is a celebration of all those people who've walked faithfully with Christ. It's a celebration of all who have experienced poverty, hunger, grief, and hatred because of the gospel. It is a celebration of all who love their enemies in that profound way that Jesus calls us to, modeling the extravagant generosity that we are all to be about as followers of Christ. The kingdom that Jesus preached and lived was all about a glorious and absurd selflessness. Think of the very best thing that you can do for a person most in need, and then go out and do it. That's basically what he's calling us to do in these words recorded by Matthew. Think of the blessing that you would really like to receive from someone else, and then go and do it for them. Think of the people to whom you are tempted to be mean and nasty, and then lavish generosity on them instead. It's crazy, isn't it? But that's what this passage in Matthew is all about. And these are the things that saints do day after day as they seek to follow Christ. It's really amazing to think of loving in this way and treating people, even our worst enemies, with love and generosity. Seems nearly impossible. But Jesus wouldn't ask it of us if it were not possible. And what we celebrate on All Saints Day is all of Christ's followers who have done these very things. How can we do the same? How can we ever move beyond our own selfishness? How can we overcome our quick impulse of resentment, our anger and pride, and the slowness of our sympathy? How can we ever put into practice the actual spirit and conduct which Jesus has put before us in these words to his disciples? Yet even the least of these have glimpses of what this means. And we have such glimpses in great part because of the people in our lives who have walked with us, who have taught us, who have shown us the way by following the example of Christ themselves. And meanwhile, we can trust that Jesus, who set the goal so high and so far, that he will have compassion and understanding for the slow steps of each of us who, though our eyes are tuned to him, are still so distant from his ideal. There's a children's book by Shel Silverstein entitled The Giving Tree. It's the tale of the relationship between a young boy and a tree in the forest. Once there was a tree, and she loved a little boy. And so begins this remarkable tale of a tree that always provides the boy with what he wants. Branches on which to swing, shade in which to sit, apples to eat. But as the boy grows older, so do his demands. He even asks the tree for more apples that he might sell, and for the branches which he can build a house. But the tree loves the boy very much, and gives him anything he asks for. In the ultimate act of self-sacrifice, the tree lets the boy cut her down so that the boy can build a boat in which he can sail. Then the boy leaves the tree, now nothing more than a stump, and he sails off. Many years later, the boy, now an old man, returns to the tree. And the tree says to the man, "I have nothing left to give you." The man replies, "I do not need much now, just a quiet place to sit and rest." Then the tree says, "Well, an old tree stump is a good place for sitting and resting. Come, boy, sit down and rest." The man did, and the tree was happy. Christ calls us to be like to that tree, to give and give and give of ourselves out of love for another. Christ tells us not to hold anything back, to be so extravagantly generous that we offer all of ourselves until there is nothing left to give. Today, we celebrate the giving trees in our lives. Those people who have freely offered us their fruit because they loved us. Those people who have willingly shaded us in their warm embrace because of their compassion for the lost. Those people who have readily given of their whole lives so that Christ's love might be made known in the lives of others. Today, we remember and celebrate the saints who were happy to follow Christ in the most extravagant ways. I don't know about you, but I would be lost without such people. I'd likely be stuck on the side of a dirt road far from civilization with a broken car sitting in the ditch next to me. I'd be standing in the middle of the desert with the sun beaming down on me, hungry and thirsty, with no place to sit in the shade and rest. I certainly wouldn't be standing here. So today, I lift thanks for my grandma and grandpa, for Roscoe and Buddy, for Janet, for Tom, for Ricky and Darren and Blossom and Jeremy, for Mark, for Charles, for Jerry. And my list goes on and on, and I'm certain that you have such a list as well. Today, we give our thanks for all the saints who have followed Christ's unexpected yet extravagant ways. It's no easy thing to live this way, to seek out the best for others no matter what, to be generous even when that generosity is taken advantage of, to love even in the face of hate. But these are the qualities of saints, and they are the qualities of the disciples of Christ. I think any celebration of All Saints' Day is empty without a recognition that we too are called to be saints. It's a shared privilege. This world full of selfishness and hate, it needs to know that selfless generosity and true love, and we are all to be people that show it. As disciples of Christ, we should live in such a way that someday people will lift us up as saints as well. Not because we want recognition, and not even because we have died, but because we have lived the way Christ calls us to live, full of generous love for all. Won't you pray with me this morning? Father, we receive your blessings and pray for your Holy Spirit to make them real in our lives. Renew a right spirit within us, a poor spirit, a spirit which knows our deep need of your grace and deliverance. Free us from trying to save ourselves. Free us for the fullness of your kingdom. Soften our hard hearts with the gift of tears. Help us to mourn our brokenness and the brokenness of our world. Help us to fully feel it. Help us welcome the refreshment of your comfort and share it well with others. Generous Savior, you fill each person with gifts, talents, and strength. Open us to meekness that we may gladly surrender them to your authority and discipline. In our hands, they're often weapons, but with you, they are refined for your glory and the common good. Bread of life, sour every false and destructive appetite, that we may hunger and thirst for righteousness alone, a right relationship with you, a right relationship with others and between others, a right relationship with ourselves, a right relationship with your creation. We bless you and honor you for your unending mercy, a flood of grace pouring out and spilling over. Make us merciful. May all people know you like this. Suffering one, break our hearts as yours is broken. In the breaking, create in us clean hearts, pure hearts, undivided hearts. Our deepest desire is to see you at work in us and all around us, and to one day see you face to face. In your grace, please don't stop with our hearts. Rebirth us fully in the breaking and creating. Named your beloved, your children forever. Make us one with you and each other, one in your great work of peace, one in your words and ways, one in commitment to reconciliation and righteousness, one in facing of falsehood, one in the bloody bonds of persecution, one in your joy, one in your promises, one on earth, and one in heaven. We pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.